Readers Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Sherry M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Wyoming. Today is Thursday, June 20th, 2024. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 26 and we're reading the third paragraph only. Today's readers are Yvonne A. and Lorraine N. And the reference number for Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21,502. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,504. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm now going to ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Press star one, Joanne. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard, Sherry.
Yes,
we hear you.
Okay. Is Joanne L. there to read the steps? Okay, maybe something happened. Lorraine, are you available to read the 12 steps?
Who did you call?
First I called Joanne. You know, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Here we go. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll now ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, fellows. This is Debbie in Montana, and these are the traditions, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I will pass.
Hey, thanks so much, Debbie. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we stop and share on what was just read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and the literature, especially the paragraph we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I'll be timing also. A singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know. You could say pass and then press star 1 on your phone again to mute, remute. And in order to have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone be muted except the speakers. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 26. And we're reading the third paragraph, and I'm now going to ask Yvonne A. to begin reading. Thanks, Yvonne.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and he got it. In the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. He could never regain his position in society. Then he would have to place himself under lock and key or hire a bodyguard if he expected to live long. That was a great physician's opinion. Sorry, I'm just going to clear my throat. And so this is so interesting to read as the story builds. We're seeing the case of him, even though he's got this amazing doctor, he keeps going out. And unfortunately, I didn't have any amazing doctors in my journey with this addiction. And so I often would try to just figure it out, the famous figuring it out, and I could never figure it out. And in fact, I had doctors tell me, no, food addiction isn't such a thing. You just have to apply yourself. Nothing was helpful. That did not help me. I went to psychologists. Found out lots of great other information, but it did not help my eating. And so for me, the doctor who told me the whole truth was Dr. Silkworth. When I made my way to OA finally, after many, many decades, I got to read the doctor's opinion with a recovered fellow, and it absolutely changed my life. It was the start of the change of my life. Here I finally got to hear the truth. There was no diet that was going to fix this. There was no exercise regime that was going to fix this. There was no basket of willpower I was going to stumble into that would fix this. I was going to need a spiritual awakening. That really, at the core of this issue, was a spiritual malady. And so for me, this past 2 and a bit years, has been just that, a spiritual journey, reconnecting with a higher power who I had completely blocked out of my life, not on purpose, just the food had become my higher power. And so as I've made this journey, it's been different things at different times. The beginning, it was all about the food, just getting that food down, getting all of my alcoholic foods out of my meal plan, picking up complete abstinence. Also, Dr. Silkworth, you know, tells us multiple times in the doctor's opinion that entire abstinence is required to be able to put ourselves in a state to have the spiritual awakening. And now, 2 years in, I get to focus on growing my spiritual awakening on a daily basis. And so I work the steps to the very best of my ability. And sometimes that's, I do that really well, and other times I don't. I'm going through a death in our family recently. And so I'm light on what I would usually do, but I still connect with my higher power every single day. I still ask for that guidance every single day. And so I don't have to place myself under lock and key. I just get to walk hand in hand with my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Yvonne, and for getting us started. That was wonderful, and our hearts and prayers are with you and your family member. So now I would like to read this little blurb here. We value your experience, but we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Tuesday, please hold that today. And I will now take names.
Polly Q.
Polly Q, there you are. Hi. Okay.
Deb E.
Deb E. Gosh, if you've ever wondered if you wanted to share, I think right now is a great time with this big opening for you.
Joanne B.
Joanne B. Anyone else want to put your name on? We'd love to hear from you. Okay, well, let's start with these three. Polly Q is up. Go ahead, Polly.
Hi, thank you, moderator, for your service. A lot of technical difficulties this morning. I'm Polly Q, recovered in Northern California. And so hopeless. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I was 34. I had been in Al-Anon, which changed my life. And I had gone into Al-Anon hopeless. I crawled in. But I didn't crawl into Overeaters Anonymous. I just did the fourth step in Al-Anon and knew, for the first time, decided that maybe this eating issue I'd had my entire life might be something else. It might be an addiction. And it was that naive that I came in. I thought I would get the 12 steps and run back over to Al-Anon and just, work the eating issue there. That did not work. And so I messed around in Overeaters Anonymous because I wasn't hopeless. I wasn't. I had lived, even though I was like 250 pounds for sure. And I came back and I got more serious because I started to see that I was more hopeless and still didn't work. Still didn't work. You know, I white knuckled it for 13 years. I don't recommend that to anybody. And then at 56, which about 7 years ago, I just burnt the house down in both programs. I just said, oh, well, screw it. Of course, I thought I was still abstinent, but I wasn't hopeless enough. But, and actually, it was probably more like 54. At 56, when I had burnt the house down in both programs, I couldn't deny it anymore. I had broken my abstinence. Then I was hopeless. And I remembered when I was hopeless, I started looking in the big book to see what I had missed. the doctor's opinion, I'd certainly miss, but I had never heard anybody talk about the doctor's opinion in terms, even though I worked a program in OA. So then I came into the rooms a vision, and I was hopeless. I was ready. I was hopeless. And that first week, I heard about something called neutrality around the food. First time I'd heard it. I heard about how to work a 10th step in a way I'd never heard it that saves me today. So hopeless is a great place to be. It is the only place I can be if I'm going to work this program as if my life depended on it. If I'm going to work the whole program, not just beef up or clean up that food plan, not just get on meetings. And what I loved about Vision was it was people that were ready. I heard so many people that were ready.
And I got
ready. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Debbie is up next.
Good morning, fellows. This is Debbie in Montana. For me, this paragraph is about the bottom, the desperation. And when I think about it, I hear the first word is he begged. And this is that moment of, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And that I is very much part of his question. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth. And then that second part, and he got it. We can't hear that whole truth until we're ready for it. We can't hear that whole truth and be willing to do what we have to do for recovery until we have gotten to this point. But this paragraph is filled with all of those words that have to do with the desperation of reaching the end of the block where nothing else is working. So he begged, he would never regain his position in society. And then that horrible part about, you know, can you imagine with food having to put ourselves under lock and key and have somebody give us everything we ate because we can't handle it? That's not living. That's not a life. And all of this, you know, and it says this was the great doctor, the physician's opinion. This is the paragraph that becomes a jumping off point for this man. You know, he finally is ready to hear the message. And I know that any one of us, if we simply can become ready and willing to hear the message, and then follow it up by doing the few simple things that are directed in the book, simple, not easy, we have a chance, and that's coming in this part of it. But I think it's important to try to remember how dark it was at that time, and how hard it was to think about letting go. This is about saying, I can't do it. My willpower is not going to do it, because it talks about how he had everything else under control. He could handle his life. But here he is begging for an answer. And the good news is the good doctor gave him his opinion. And from that, he was able to spring forward into recovery. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Hey, thanks so much, Debbie from Montana. Joanne B is up next, and then I'll take another lineup.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joanne B. from Vermont. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but still a compulsive overeater, obviously. I'm mostly sharing today just to claim my seat. I haven't shared in a while, and I don't usually come on this meeting. I'm usually on the earlier one, but so glad to be here today and listen to everybody's shares. I listened yesterday as well to the paragraph yesterday, but today it's like when I think about my own experience, I did feel hopeless. I felt hopeless. There was nobody out there. I didn't have a doctor telling me I was hopeless, but I sure did feel like I just can't seem to lick this thing. No matter what I do, and no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to stay stopped. And I would for a while and think that, okay, I have this under control and it's working for me. But then, you know, then it would just start creeping back in. And when life started getting stressful and demanding, and things weren't going my way, that's when I started reaching for the food again. And I would just, it just started, you know, snowballing. I would gain all the weight back. And the last time that this happened, I just saw myself like, there was no end to this. Like, I didn't see an end to it. I didn't see a solution. And that's, I'm so fortunate that I had a friend who suggested that I check out OA. And I did. I listened. I heard the message from her and picked up, you know, went to my computer and I was able to log on to meeting. And it's changed my life. So, you know, I felt hopeless, but now I feel hopeful. And it gave me hope when I came into this room, these rooms. Immediately I felt the hope all around me. And that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share today.
Thanks so much, Joanne, for sharing. And now I'm going to take another lineup. And then I might as well just tell everyone now, in case you came in after we started, that we are reading today from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 26 from the chapter, There is a Solution. And we're reading the third paragraph only, which begins with, he begged the doctor to tell him, ending with, that was a great physician's opinion. So that's the paragraph we're on. Who would like to share?
Rachel R.
Rachel R. Morning. Anyone else?
Laura W. from Chicago.
Laura W.
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
I copy.
Who is that? Okay,
Jordan.
I've heard Rachel. Oh, Jordan L. Thank you. So I've heard four names. So if I've missed you, please let me know. I have Rachel R., Laura W., Nancy L., and Jordan L. Did I miss anybody in this lineup? Okay, let's go with Rachel R. Thank you, and just tell everyone where you're from. Press star one, Rachel.
Hi,
R.
Can you hear me?
I can,
hello?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, great. Thank you so much. Hi, good morning. This is Rachel R. calling from California. I missed the reading, so I'm just claiming my seat. I'm in a relapse, just asking for prayers today, and I pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Rachel, from California. Thanks. You're welcome here. Thank you for sharing. Laura W.
Hi, this is Laura W. I'm sorry. I thought I'd have a minute. I'm just going through the car wash, so if it's loud, I am finally experiencing a couple of days of really good abstinence after relapse. So I hope that's inspirational to anyone that's been suffering relapse, because I've been suffering for over a year now, and it feels so good. And this paragraph speaks to me because I had to be ready to hear what I had to hear. Why did it work before? Why is it not working now? What is wrong with me, doctor? Please tell me the truth. And the truth, you don't want to know the truth. The truth is you have to work the program. The truth is you have to have abstinence. The truth is that I have to do what I have to do. And that is, work my program, stick to my abstinence, stay away from my alcoholic food, stay away from my alcoholic behaviors, reach out. I have to reach out to people, especially during those afternoons when it's the hardest time for me. I don't want to reach out. I want to give in. I have to do the work. It's said by someone I really admire and a lot of good people in this program. It's not for people who want it. It's not even for people who need it. It's for people who do it. We've got to do it. And that's what I think Roland Hazard was begging the doctor.
what do I do? What's wrong with me? Please give me the prescription. And it's about to come. So I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura W. from Chicago. Nancy L. is up next.
Well, thank you so much, moderator. Welcome, newcomers and everybody. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered for today by God's grace and mercy. Well, there was one time when I asked someone, he wasn't a doctor, but I brought up the subject of, about being locked up. And that was long, long time ago. I was just absolutely at my wit's end. I was such a chronic night eater. So one night I was laying in bed and my husband was laying there getting ready to go to sleep. And I said, dear, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. Could we just put a lock on the bedroom door and then you take the key and put it somewhere? And then when I get up in the morning, and I get up way before him, right? Well, when I wake up in the morning, I can ask you for the key. You can give me the key and then I can go down and start my day. And he just kind of like mumbled something and rolled over. I have no idea what he said. But I was disappointed because I thought that'll be my fix. Then I won't be a night eater because I can't get down to the kitchen. No, Nancy. I always had a scheme. I always had a trick. I always had a thought. I always had a something. And nothing ever worked until I came into the rooms and heard people that were just as desperate as I, living one day at a time in recovery. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a try. And I am so glad I did because there are no foods calling to me in the middle of the night anymore. It's silent, it's peaceful, and it's recovery that anyone can have. With the work in these 12 steps, there is beauty and recovery. With that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Nancy L. from Arizona. Jordan L. is up next.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and really grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. It's quite the paragraph we got here this morning, huh? It's funny, as compulsive overeaters, I don't think we're very good at like being hopeless, with good reason, right? I don't know. I mean, I've gotten to know a lot of folks, and it seems like we've definitely like been through some shit. Usually, we're not always good at like kind of being in that place of hopelessness. And this paragraph's pretty hopeless. Like when you're excited about getting locked up, that's when I'm excited about getting locked up. That's when I know I got a real problem. when I feel like getting locked up is the only solution, to my compulsive overeating, I get a real problem on my hands. It's like that's what it comes, that's where I came to, I guess, in this program, was really having exhausted all human resources, you know? I think that's the only reason that I would have sought a spiritual solution. I would have like sought to have God in my life, you know. I was one of those people that was going to figure this out on my own. I didn't need you, and I sure as hell didn't need God, for sure, you know. So I don't know, this might sound weird, but I'm like grateful for this type of hopelessness today. It's the only thing that compulsive overeating is the only thing that would beat me into a state of reasonableness, in order to to seek a spiritual solution like God. So anyway, thank you, the God of my understanding, the way God as I understand him. So thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thanks, Jordan L. from Colorado. Are there any other people who want to share today?
Joanne L.
Joanne L.
Lori D.
Jane
Lori
R.
B.
Washington. Jane R.
Nancy M.
Nancy M. And then there was one right before Nancy.
Lorraine M.
Lorraine M.
Lori D.
Lori D. Well, that's a good lineup there. We got a lot going now. Okay. Let's start with Joanne L., followed by Lori B. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sherry, and I apologize. I was on the phone to introduce myself for the 12 sets, and then I realized I made a mistake with my phone, and I'm sorry. This particular paragraph, I love. I love this because, number one, the person that we're talking about is Roland Hazard, and he was from Peacedale, Rhode Island, and that's where I'm from, is from Rhode Island. And this is actually step two, could restore us to sanity. And this says this, there is a solution. So, you know, in my life, I knew I've been coming for like 30 years and recovered in three other things. And I just knew, you know, that I could also get recovered with the food. And it's taken me a long time. And that's okay. I'm not going to go anywhere. And I actually am loving everything that I'm doing this time around. I'm getting it more and more and more. I'm 69. I'll be 70 in December. And it does not matter. You know, God is good. I was like Roland Hazard. You know, I wanted to, the paragraph above, it says, he wished above all things to regain self-control. But see, that was the problem. You know, I wanted to live on my own self-will. I'm single. I live alone. You know, I said, nobody's going to know what I eat. And, yes, there was a time, you know, that I went through my insanity, too. But now I don't live that way. And as we read further, beginning tomorrow with the next paragraph, you're going to see that this man actually, you know, is free. And he still lives, it says, you know, in freedom. And so that's my story, too. I don't care how long you've been coming. My suggestion, you know, is just to keep on coming. Never give up. Never give up. Just keep coming. You don't always have to talk. You can listen, reach out to others. And this is how it is for me today. And so, you know, I knew that I could be restored to sanity. Also, the principle to this step is hope. And I always had hope that it was going to happen for me, too. And it can happen for you as well. And I thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. And Lori B. is up next.
Hi, my name is Lori D., as in Dunlap. I'm in California. I can relate to the hopelessness. I'm coming back also, getting my land legs. I liked Paula Q said something about, was I hopeless? You know, are you hopeless? Are you a hopeless compulsive overeater? And it's like, I totally also related to the another speaker who said, I think we're bad at hopelessness, at admitting it, you know? And so I feel like, what can I say? I think that in the beginning of getting clean, it is like being on a diet. And so I'm trying not to be so hard on myself. Like, I'm all in, you know? This is like baby steps, piecemealing it. But I am looking at, in regards to my history, I went to the doctor in February. And I was crying, literally crying to the doctor about my weight, the depression it's causing. And I've never had any assistance really from doctors. I've never really asked for assistance. but I don't know what I was doing there. He offered antidepressants. Then he offered something like Ozempic. Let's take your blood. Hopefully you're pre-diabetic so we can get you on the medicine. And I just, that just all scared me. I said, what are you doing? It was like a Nirvana moment, you know, like I was like, aha. So I left there and I got scared. I even went back in and I said, I want to talk to the doctor because I was going to tell him I'm not taking any medicine because I know something. Thank God for the 12 steps and Overeaters Anonymous, that is not the way for this compulsive overeater. I've got a real problem here. And there is no pill that's going to arrest this illness. So I'm back. I'm, you know, talking to higher power. I'm coming back to the meeting. And I do appreciate, again, what Polly said earlier about these are people who really are straight up wanting to recover. And so I'm glad you guys are here. I don't usually come to this meeting either, but hey, I'm desperate. I missed the earlier meeting. I'm on the 7 a.m. for California. Anyway, hope you all have a great day. I'm out.
Hey, thanks so much, Lori D., as in David, from California. We're glad you're here. Jane R. is up next. Star one, Jane. Jane R. from Washington. Okay, we'll come back to Jane. How about Nancy M.? Okay, how about Lorraine?
This is Nancy.
Hi. Go ahead, Nancy, and then Lorraine. Go ahead, Nancy.
Sorry about that. I had trouble getting unmuted. This is Nancy, F as in flowers. Thank you for letting me share. I struggled to really be where Roland was, hopeless and desperate. I think I told myself I was powerless, but in the back of my mind, you know, I said, well, you know, I can get my abstinence back. I can, you know, I might have to get a new sponsor. I might have to go to some extra meetings. I never really knew my powerlessness. I never was really at the end of my rope. I had released 170 pounds in this program, but had no real freedom, a frequent relapser. I came to Vision 8 months ago and worked the steps and thought I was recovered, had really clean abstinence and what I thought was freedom, but I failed to sponsor. I didn't follow my sponsors, experience, strength, and hope. I failed to give it away, and the credits don't transfer, and I relapsed on May 9th, and it has been over a month of absolute hell. On June 8th, I reached what I think is my bottom. I hope, I pray. I have had gastric bypass, and I binged all night on abstinent food until I was in so much pain that I was just screaming, and I couldn't stop, and then I started vomiting. And then after I vomited, I started again, and this went on all night. I mean, a craziness. But I reached a level of desperation that night, and I cried out to God. Finally, I cried out to God, and God heard me, and God has been keeping me. I mean, it is the power of God that has been keeping me abstinent starting on June 9th. Finally, I know what it means to surrender to a power greater than myself, and I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Nancy F., where are you calling from?
I'm from Texas, sorry.
Texas, thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to ask one more time for Jane R. from Washington. Okay, Maybe she had to leave. I'm going to now move
on
to
Lorraine. This is Jane R. I finally figured out how to unmute myself. Get in.
Good job. Thank you.
It was a challenge.
Takes a minute. Go ahead, Jane R. from Washington.
Yeah, I'm fairly new to this group and started OA in February, and recently I reached out to my higher power and I was successful, which is hope. And I'm finding it doesn't always work because I'm not in all trusting of it, because my higher power, what somebody said earlier, is food. I thought, oh my God, yeah, it probably was my higher power. And I never really thought about that. But I'm a grateful member of OA. I'm a sugar addict and overeater, struggling to just get myself in control of all that, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks for all your shares and your service.
Oh, welcome. We're so glad you shared today, Jane R. from Washington. Lorraine is up next, followed by Lori.
Good morning. This is Lorraine M. from California. I want to thank everyone for being here today and this meeting. This meeting starts my day almost every day, and I just get a lot from it. As I was reading this, I was thinking of, you know, the medical community and the physicians looking at us and telling us we're hopeless. And I've experienced that probably since I was in grade school. You know, we would go to the doctor, and of course I was overweight. And I recall my mom, you know, in those days, oh, well, I have to go to the chubby section for myself, for Lori. And then I have to go to the slim section for Pat. And Pat is my brother. And every year we go to the doctor, and every year they would tell my mom, you know, well, you should try this or you should try this. And so that continued throughout high school. And then in high school, I lost a little bit of weight, no big deal. But as an adult, the same thing. You go and the physicians are, yeah, you're overweight. You can try this med. You can try this. So you do. We become very, very desperate. We obtain the gift of desperation. However, every time we leave the doctors, we feel hopeless because we've tried a million things, whatever the fad was at the time, intermittent fasting, certain meds, gastric bypass, sleep. You know, I've tried many things. Of course, I was always too smart to try certain things. But one of the things coming out of that gift of desperation, and I just realized this morning when everyone was speaking, is that our hope is never gone. I've been blessed, you know, with still having a strand of hope, even if that hope meant trying something that didn't work. Because finally, when we get here, when we get to OA, not only do we still have that hope, but when we meet our fellowship, people in the fellowship that have been successful, that have been able to make that connection with HP on a daily basis before every meal and gain food neutrality, that's the hope that carries us. And so I think for today, you know, I am so grateful that even through all these years, that little strand of hope was there, so that when HP led me to the program, that I was able to embrace it. Despite taking a long time to become abstinent and to maintain abstinence and to do, you know, have our slips or whatever you want to call them, our relapses, there's always been that gift of hope. And I want to thank everyone for that, because it's through the stories and through meeting people and seeing it in their faces and hearing their voices that I'm able to be carried through the day. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Lorraine M. from California. And Lori is up next. Star one, Lori. Oh, I thought I heard a Lori. Thought it was P or D. Okay.
I think star that one. Was me from there.
Go ahead.
Lori from earlier.
Okay. So do you want to share? No. Okay. I already shared.
This is Lori.
Yeah, I'm looking. Okay. Thanks, Lori. I thought there was another one.
Is anybody there?
Can't hear you, Sherry.
We can't hear the moderator.
This is so funny with the technology challenges today. Who else would like to share? We have time for one more, and thanks for letting me know that I got muted again.
Lorena H.
There you go. Close us out, Lorena. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lorena H. from California, and I've been a hopeless, powerless person my whole life. I didn't know it, but I was, and it brought me to not want to live anymore. 4 years ago, right before the pandemic, my backpack of life was full. And it was so heavy with hurt and resentments and fears and guilt. And I didn't know what to do with it. And it paralyzed me. And it caused me to not be able to work in my 25-year career that I had. At the time, I thought it was all depression and anxiety. It was, you know, my mental health. And I ended up just not wanting to live. And so I tried ending my life 3 times. And the third time was the last time, because that's what brought me to recovery. Once things got better in recovery, but I felt my mental health got a little better. I wasn't suicidal anymore, but I still had this eating issue that had been there. And so it brought me to another recovery, which is OA. And it's been the only recovery that's worked for me, knowing what I knew to be true, that there was certain foods that I was like an addict to. And I would tell people, you guys don't understand it. This is controlling me. I can't put it down. And so this was the only place where I was told that, yeah, that's not all in your head. That's actually what's going on. And I wasn't alone. And I could talk about it all. The hard things, the disgusting things, the behaviors, everything. And I wasn't crazy. It's going to be a year in July 4th will be a year. And for the first time in 12 years, I'm not binging every night. I was binging when I came into OA. I was binging every night and wanting and restricting in the day and not wanting to live. And I don't do that anymore. I did have to lock myself up. I did have to lock myself up because
that's
I had
fine.
To. And so thank you for letting me share. And I will call next time and share a lot of hope. Thank you.
Thanks, Lorena from California. We really appreciate it, and for everyone share. And we're so lucky that we're on the phone today on this meeting. So thank you. We're going to now close with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the serenity prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read a vision for you?
Yes, good morning. Lots of Lorraines today. This is Lorraine N. in Oregon. Our vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.